Hi everyone, it's Will and Jez here from the Eat Farm Now editorial team. We just wanted to give you some tips on podcasting. I wanted to start off by asking Will about why you should start a farming podcast. Now, if you don't know, Will is the founder and host of Rock and Roll Farming, which is a UK-based farming podcast. It's been really successful. He's been running it for 2 years now. And he's having about 4,000 downloads a week and about 160,000 downloads so far and more than 100 episodes at the moment. So it's looking pretty good, Will. I mean, why did you decide to start a podcast to start with?
Well, to be honest, I'd listened to podcasts for quite a while, but not really farming ones. And then I started listening to a few farming ones and I thought, why isn't there one of these over here? You know, there's so many cool and interesting people in farming. That would be a really great way to show some of them off and talk about what they're doing. And it kind of went from there. I hadn't had any experience with it, but I just thought, yeah, I'll give this a go. And I didn't put an awful lot more planning than that into it, to be honest.
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
It's grown really organically, hasn't it, actually? Because you've now got sponsorship from several different agricultural companies, as far as I know, and you've been teaming up with Farmers Guardian, which is a major UK agricultural publication, running some of their podcasts. I mean, it's been pretty awesome, hasn't it?
Yeah, all very unexpected, really, because when I started it, like I say, I didn't put a huge amount of thought into it. I just thought, well, this would be a fun thing to do. I certainly never expected it to make any money or anything like that. It was just a case of sort of wanting to do something for the industry and put something back. And then, it's become a nice little sideline. I mean, becoming a podcaster is never going to make you wealthy, but it has become a nice little diversification project for me, I guess.
So it's a different income stream. And I mean, what do you think it's given you kind of personally and professionally?
I think it's given me quite a lot of confidence, actually, as well as learning quite a lot of new skills. Because I'm quite a typical farmer, you know, I'm all right with diesel engines and cattle, but, you know, I'm not computers. I know my way around a spreadsheet, but certainly when it comes to creative projects, I'd never done anything like it before. So it's been really cool to just learn different things in that regard. And then also just getting to meet so many different cool and interesting people or speak to them, people I wouldn't usually get the chance to speak to. So, I mean, that's been probably the best part of it. I feel like I've made a lot of friends through it. So, yeah, it's been in that regard, it's been great. And also, like I say, it's given me a lot of confidence in terms of, I suppose I didn't expect it to be a success and now it is. So it makes you realise what you can do if you just sort of have a little bit of passion and enthusiasm, I suppose.
For sure. It sounds really exciting. I mean, what's the who's been the most exciting person that you think you've interviewed as a result of it, or that you've got to meet from it, maybe not even interviewed?
It's been really cool to speak to some of the sort of VIPs, you know, people like Minette Batters, who's the National Farmers Union president. I spoke to Minette a few times, I'm a big fan of hers. And I mean, I spoke to Michael Gove, who's the Secretary of State in the UK at DEFRA, which was, you know, very, very surreal. But I mean, I still like really just speaking to the normal farmers, people who have maybe had their highs and lows and they've overcome different things, or people who've maybe they're first generation farmers and they just really had this burning desire to farm. It's always just great to hear their stories. I'm quite a people person anyway, so I'm always fascinated by people's stories of how they got to where they are. So I don't know, maybe I'm just nosy, you know, I don't know.
You do kind of have to be nosy though, don't you? I mean, has it, do you think it's given you more ideas about how to run your farming business? Or do you think it's, I mean, I know like you're still like a young farmer really, but has it kind of injected like something else like into the farming side of things for you and made it sort of more exciting?
Yeah, I mean, my wife would tell you that I mostly do the interviews in the evening, sort of Sunday or Monday evening, and nearly every time I sort of come bouncing out of the room afterwards full of enthusiasm. I say, oh, this guy's doing this, or this lady's doing this, and isn't that great? We could do that here. And she's like, well, just hang on, just think of it, because you know me, I'm quite excitable. So I'm always very sort of impressed with the different things people are doing. But yeah, it certainly gives you ideas, and sometimes it just inspires you, because you hear people who've maybe overcome great difficulties or challenges, and you know, they've just kind of climbed these mountains and achieved so much, you know, and it just gives you a real shot in the arm, puts things into perspective sometimes, you know.
I think that's really important, especially in farming, isn't it? Because it can be really isolating and quite a lonely occupation now. But by doing your podcast, you're kind of actively like getting out and meeting people. Yeah. And by doing one every week like you have, you've been able to do that every single week, which is amazing. I mean, you've also done a lot of traveling, haven't you? So it's obviously got you out in that respect. I mean, where have you, I know you just got back from Ireland from doing a podcast, but where else have you been doing it?
Yeah, all around the country really now, different things. I mean, most of the podcast interviews I do over the phone still. I mean, it's kind of the logical next step really, is to try and get out onto farms as much as possible, because it's much easier interviewing people face to face because you can see their body language, but and just more interesting, I guess. But it's quite difficult for me with the farm and the young family to get out and about. But yeah, I have been. I've just got back from a farm near Belfast, and I've been up to the Highlands of Scotland not too long ago, on the shores of Glencoe, which was an amazing experience. We actually went out on a speedboat, which was amazing. Yeah, it was really cool. That's a farm diversification as well. So. Yeah, it's just
what a speedboat enterprise.
Yeah, they do. They take people out on the lock. You can even do a pub crawl around the speedboat pub crawl around the pubs on the lock.
Oh my god, that sounds so dangerous!
Oh, it's amazing.
It
was so cool. And yeah, just getting out to various different farming events and things like that, you know, and talking to people. It's been an incredible 2 years actually of my life, something I never thought for one second would happen to me. And just getting to meet so many cool and interesting people has been it's probably been the absolute highlight really.
And what I think what you're doing with that as well, it's a bit like having a journalistic pass, isn't it? It's a bit like having a press pass, because I think you know, I'm a journalist, and it's definitely, I enjoy it because I'm so nosy and curious.
Yeah.
And the thing I like the most is, like you say, like being able to get behind something, and it gives you kind of access to people that you would never normally speak to, I think, isn't it?
Definitely.
But I guess as well, like the wider point here as well, isn't it, is what is the importance of, or why is it important for farmers to tell their story, or to tell other people's food and farming stories and their perspectives?
Obviously, you don't have to go very far to find negative stories about farming these days, as we all know, whether that be in mainstream media or social media. I always feel if we don't tell our stories, then other people will tell them for us. People have never been as interested in where their food comes from as they are right now. And it's also never been easier to get information than it is right now, obviously. So people want to know where their food comes from. They want to know what food they're feeding their families. And I feel that we're the people producing it. So it's up to us to tell people our stories. And I don't think we need to butt heads with the anti-farming lobby, if you like, but we just need to put our stories out there so that people can find them if they want to. And I mean, And sometimes I don't think we need to aggressively sell our story. We just need to we're doing so many amazing things in farming, and I think it's just the case of being able to show that off in a positive light, you know.
But what do you say to people when if you meet a farmer who says, "Oh yeah, I love what you're doing. I'd like to start a podcast, but I'm really not sure. I don't think I could do it." What do you say to people then?
Well, first of all, I say that's exactly what I thought, because when I had the idea of doing it, I self-doubt very quickly crept in, and I thought, well, I'm not sure I can do that. You know, like I say, I don't know much about computers and I haven't got much time and all these kind of things. And then I thought, well, no, I will do it, because, you don't want to ever be that person who had an idea and then didn't have the sort of drive and the courage to go through with it. But, I think the hardest thing is that first step. It's always difficult to put yourself out there and open yourself up to potential ridicule, because you can be quite uncertain about doing that. But I just thought, well, if I have a go at it, what have I got to lose? If I put a few podcasts out there and they're absolutely useless, then at least it's been a bit of a fun experience, and hopefully I'll learn from it. You know, and really, what have you got to lose? It's you know, you're only going to learn something. It's not maybe people laugh at you, but what does that really matter, you know? So and another thing is to just be yourself, you know. I think that's good advice, really. If you were thinking about doing a podcast or even videos or whatever, you know, everyone's different and it's no good sort of trying to emulate other people. I think you've got to just be who you are. I mean, my podcasts are fairly light-hearted because I'm quite a light-hearted person. I don't think I could ever do an uber serious serious podcast, because I'm not that kind of person, you know. But so I think you've just got to be yourself, but also just have a go, you know. What have you got to lose would be my advice.
That sounds all makes sense, doesn't it? I think sounds like the message is, you know, have a go. You don't know where it might take you, and you might end up spreading some really good stories in the meantime.
Exactly.